You're listening to 515, the Ultra Podcast, the show that invites you into the lives of people who make up the Ultra family. Here's your host for these conversations, Larry Ryan.
Thank you, Mary Jo. There are many beautiful places in the world that one can choose to travel to for a racecation. Today, I have returning to the podcast the pioneers of triathlon in North Africa, who also offer a 515 race in Czechia. Or is it the Czech Republic? We'll find out. Just before we get to today's conversation, I would like to send out some well wishes to all the participants, crew members, staff, and volunteers that are currently on the road at Ultraman Hawaii. Many of the people there this weekend are past guests of the show and friends that I've met over the years at races. Maybe some of the crews are even playing this in their crew vehicles right now. So, best of luck for a safe and satisfying finish to all who are over in Hawaii. Today, I have two returning guests. They first appeared on the show back in episode 2 of season 2 when they were joined with prolific triathlon racer Peter Vabruzik. At that time, we learned that they were, like their father, potential Olympic rowers. Now they have introduced triathlon to the people of Northern Africa and are race directors for the Ultra Czech 515. Welcome back to the podcast, Jacob and Adam Atarzia.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Nice to be back.
Hello.
Hi, guys. So I guess, first of all, I would just like to catch up a little bit on the personal front. I believe that there's been some changes in the family since we've spoken last. There's a wedding and a baby in the family. Tell me a little bit about what's been going on with you guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We have a new member in our Atarsia family. It's a now 4 months old baby, a little daughter was born. His name is Victoria.
Very nice. So, congratulations. Yeah.
We have a new happy family. We are now bigger. We have more fun than before. Yeah, there's also a wedding in it was in March, and then the baby in June. So yeah, a big change in our life, and we moved to Morocco with our little one and my wife. Mm-hmm. And now we are sitting in Morocco with my brother. So,
yeah, that's awesome, Jacob. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, Adam, how about you? Any changes in your life going on? Maybe not as major as that, but what's been going on?
No, not so big changes as my brother's. I'm still in Czech Republic and still doing all the kinds of things in rowing. I mean, I'm still taking kids from our club to the races in Czech Republic. I changed my work. Now I work for 3 years as a firefighter. And yes, not so big changes as in my brother's life.
Yeah.
So you have also a little kid, my kid, my Victoria. It's our Victoria. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like mine.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So working in the Czech Republic as a firefighter, and are you coaching rowing then? Is that what you're doing? Are you still rowing yourself?
Yeah, actually, I'm, let's say, coaching some kids in our rowing club. And then because I have a driver license for bus and all these trucks and everything, so I, like, every weekend during the season, I'm just taking a bus full of kids and I'm driving them to do races across Czech Republic. And yeah, then when I have time, I participate myself in triathlons, right?
So what distance triathlons are you doing these days?
So we've been in Tangiers this weekend for the 70.3 Ironman race, so the second edition here in Morocco. So my brother just came to Morocco to do the race together. We said, let's see another race in Africa to see the to see the organization and the organizers, and to compare, to be able to compare with our Saharan race in which is in Algeria, in fact. So,
right.
Yeah, we must say that the standard was like every Ironman race was great. The people were also great, and the organizers were French, I guess. Yeah, they did a good work here in Morocco. Lot of inspiration for us, and of course we tried to promote our races. Yeah, there. And we even race, by the way.
You both did the race?
Both did the race, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us how you finished up?
Well, I did the half Ironman in 5 hours. You, I guess, in 5:30.
Something like that.
I was 20 in the age group, so 30 to 34. My brother was 25th, 26th, I guess. Yeah, something like that.
Excellent.
So we had great race, a tough race on the cycling course. Really tough, really.
Oh.
Yeah, it was up and down, a big hill in the middle of the cycling part. Not so much windy as expected. And yeah, great. The swimming was fast, even the running course was fast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So great race. We can recommend it to everybody.
And that was an official Ironman 70.3?
Official Ironman 70.3, the second edition, because the first ever edition of the Ironman 70.3 was in Marrakesh. It was before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But just one edition, then they moved it to Tangiers, which is in the north of the country. It's near the Gibraltar Strait, so right, between the Mediterranean and Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm. And was this mainly due to the earthquake that occurred there, or were they planning on moving that prior to the earthquake?
No, it was before COVID, so I guess to organize a race in Tangier, it's much more easier because in October it's low season, not so much people in Tangiers, but okay. Marrakesh, it's full of people all long year. So I think this is the main reason.
So with the earthquake that did happen over there, did that affect anybody in your family?
So I was there with my wife and kids the weekend when the earthquake occurred. It was scary. A lot of people died there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, fortunately we are okay. But yeah, not a good experience, to be honest.
No, I can imagine not. Yeah. And that was a very large earthquake. It was like a 6.8, I believe.
6.8 in Marrakesh. In the mountains, it was even bigger, 7.2. Mm. So a big, major earthquake in a place where nobody expected. So, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was hard to be
and
there.
And that was just back in September. So I'm guessing that there's probably not a lot has been rebuilt or anything's been happening since. Have you guys, I'm assuming you're seeing news and stuff like that. What's going on in the area that was struck, and people are still living in tents? Have they moved away to different cities? What's happening?
Well, it was the first weekend and it was the first Friday in September. In fact, it was our first weekend here as a family.
Mm.
And I said, hey, let's go to Marrakesh to enjoy some free time. But
mm-hmm.
I think it was like the worst decision this year. Yeah, a lot of damage. I think around 3,000 or 4,000 dead people. entire villages was erased from the map. I've been there. It's 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's true that the government and the king of Morocco did a lot of good thing to help people. A lot of humanitarian aid was going to we're going to Marrakech and the mountains. So I still saw some people in some villages living in tents. Now it will be the worst part because the snow and raining are coming to the mountains. So yeah, but let's say the government are making a big progress to help everybody there. But yeah, the terrain was it's hard to access to the villages in the mountains. So new roads must be built there. I think they are making big progress there. I hope it will be good before the winter.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear that. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultra Tri Fest Canada, where you can race the traditional 515, a 515 relay, or a 515 non-stop. There's also a 360K format, which does not require a crew. And because we are hosting you in Whistler, there is also an Ultra Gravel Race. Check us out at ultratrifestcanada.com. And if you've always wanted to go to a 515 World Championship, check out the information on the website about our new Worldwide Championships, which is available to every 515 racer of all time. Again, that is at ultratrifestcanada.com, coming to Whistler, British Columbia in August 2024. Let's just jump back then for a second to your race this past weekend. In general, as brothers, you must be competitive. Do you guys compete pretty hard against one another? Are you generally in the same time frames, or what's it like as brothers competing at a race?
You can start, Adam.
Yeah, Adam, let's hear from you.
Okay, I would say we are competitive, but we found a way how to cooperate together more than, competitive between us. He's good in something, I'm good in something, right. And both of us, we are just keeping, these things that we know how to do, and we are still trying to do it better for the triathlon. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we are, fighting against us that, you did that, but I believe I can do it better. So I think we found a way.
Yeah, we help each other. We are in the same time frame. I mean, the finish time.
Yeah.
So my Adam is better in swimming, so he's helping me in swimming. Then yeah, on the cycling track, it's yeah, we are fighting hard against each other, but we can do barely 1 minute between us difference.
Right.
1 minute on the cycling course, and then yeah, the funniest part is the running part. I hate to go to the running part with my brother on my back, yeah, because I know it will be fighting up to the finish line. So I at least I try to be very, very fast in the transition, because I think this is the only place where I can be better than him and beat him. So I need to take as much as more time in the transition as possible to feel comfortable on the running course.
Oh, yeah.
Which fortunately was this weekend, because he's really very slow in the transition after the swimming part. Yeah.
that's nice that you get that brotherly love.
but frankly, it's scary to see him on the cycling course. You have like 2 or 3 minutes after T1, and then you see taking second by second, and at the end of the cycling part is like just 1 minute, and this is scary. Yeah, I think this is more scary than the earthquake on September, which is
no, because he's really fast on his bike, so
yeah,
it's fun.
did the course layout allow you to see each other on the course? Were there any out and backs or opportunities to see straight down the road or something and know that, you know, you can pick out your brother's kit?
In fact I hate Ironman because you do loops. So you see each other and you see the differences at
right.
each turn. So first turn, 2 minutes, second turn, 1 minute, third, it's like 30 seconds. And I'm really scary. It's scary there. So I love to do 8 or point to point races because
right.
I can imagine how far or where my brother is. So. And there, at this kind of races, the part that I hate the most is when suddenly he's behind me on his bike and smiling and saying, "Hey Kuba, how's the race?" And I'm like, "You know what?"
So Adam, do you do that on purpose? Do you take a little extra time in the transition just so that you can ride behind him for a while and be in his mind?
I would say one more thing. You know, he's better in triathlon than me, much better. But I'm okay with that because I'm better in rowing. So that's why we are okay between us.
Yeah, that's why I stopped throwing. So.
Forced you into retirement, huh?
Actually, I'm enjoying triathlon. Like, I paid for it, right? So
you must enjoy it.
Exactly.
Yes.
So when it's an aid station, I just walk through and take everything on aid station, drink it slowly.
Yeah, because yeah,
I love eating.
Because I paid like $300.
Exactly.
So
exactly for bananas.
One banana is how much? Like $1. I need to take 300 bananas, even more.
Gotta get your money's worth.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know there's some people in the 5:15 world that's think that same thing, and they want to stay out there to 11:59 every day to make sure that they're getting their money's worth on the course.
So he's enjoying every second of the race.
I'm enjoying the race, you know, the atmosphere, and I don't know, no rush, you know, take it easy. Mm-hmm. We'll catch you later.
Yeah, so he takes the race easy. I'm not. I'm fighting a lot. It's very, very hard to be in front of him. And yeah, then at the finish line, we are both in the same time. And it's,
yeah,
it's not good. I'm pissed off.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing this race in Morocco now, but you kind of introduced triathlon to Northern Africa back in 2018. We learned that the last time you were on. Can you just refresh the memory, or can you let the new listeners know what was that first race that you brought to Algeria?
Actually, we decided back in 2018, we decided to organize a triathlon in North Africa, in North Algeria, in city of Oran. And we decided we wanted to organize this triathlon because in Algeria, and I believe in Tunisia and Morocco, it will be it was very similar that no one know triathlon. And in the same time, we wanted to open Algeria and show to the world how beautiful country it is, and mm-hmm. how the people are. Like, extremely nice, and the hospitality is massive, and very, very warm atmosphere there. So that were our main purpose to organize the triathlon there.
Mm-hmm.
So we started.
Yeah, we did the first one in Oran, towards an Ironman race and half Ironman race. Yeah. So we did the very first Ironman and half Ironman race in North Africa.
In general, other than South Africa, is there any triathlon in Africa?
Well, now in 2023, you have like I guess four or five half Ironman races. I mean the official Ironman race. You have in Egypt, Morocco, Rwanda, South Africa,
South Africa, of
which
course.
is four. Yeah, four. And the unofficial, you have a lot of unofficial races, which is our in the Sahara Desert, and you have in Senegal, Namibia. It started to get bigger and bigger.
But I believe in 2018 it was just South Africa
Yeah, in
who had.
2018. If we're talking about half and full distance races.
You guys were really pioneers on this front by bringing it to Northern Africa then, and then maybe showing Iron Man that there is a market to bring to these areas.
Yeah, maybe. I
What
believe
percent are you guys
so.
getting from Iron Man? You must be making some big bucks from Iron Man
Well,
then.
I guess we are okay just with the races that we're doing, like independent races. It's more familiar. Yeah, it's
The
more
atmosphere
friendly
is.
atmosphere. And we are the boss, so.
So you have the race in Oran, and that's your half and your full distance. And then you also have another race with the Sahara Man. Where's the Sahara Man take place?
So just to be clear, in fact, the half and full distance in Oran, which we did back in 2018, was moved to the Sahara Desert. Now in Oran, we have just the sprint and Olympic distance. It's like for local people to be able to introduce the triathlon to
And that one has like a
everyone.
kids race and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, every race. In Oran and in the Sahara Desert, we have a kids race, kids races to bring
Because,
to educate new
yeah, because as I said back in 2018, nobody knew what is triathlon, what is a transition zone, what is aid station, and they were asking like, and all these three sports are we gonna do in one day and etc. So that's why we decided to to keep the Sahara Man for like the big race, and for participants from other countries, etc., and to Oran to take it like to develop the sport in Algeria,
All
basically.
right. So Oran's your introductory race now, and the Sahara Man is where you do
Exactly.
your half and your full.
This is the big race.
I think 2 years after the first triathlon, the federation came.
I am there was no federation, no triathlon federation in Algeria, and based on our races, this federation was created in Algeria. So it's a brand new triathlon federation, which because of us was created. So for now in Algeria, you have seven triathlon races, varying from sprint to Ironman distances. But we are the only one doing Ironman and half Ironman in Algeria. So yeah, we bring a lot of people to triathlon. We have for now this year we had like five or six Algerian athletes competing in the Ironman distance. So
Excellent.
it's 2023 with 2 year with the COVID. So let's say in 4 years, we managed to have not
Bump.
one, two athletes on the Ironman distance, but six Algerian people participating German and distance, which is great. We will have much more now in 2024. So this is,
Yeah,
yeah, immediate.
that's excellent. Yeah. And your race for the Sahara Man happens in February now, is that correct?
It depends. Now it's on February 1st. Last year it was on February 17th. So let's say, yeah, it's each year on February.
And I saw on, I think it was on your Facebook page, that Algeria has changed its visa requirements. So now it's a little bit easier for people to get to the country and come and race if they want to.
Exactly. Basically, now people should just send us some details about their passport, like name, surname, family name, date of birth, and address, and they will get their visas on arrival.
At the airport in Algiers, and then you catch up your domestic flight to Béchar, which is the nearest city to Tarit, where the race to take place, and yeah, you're good to go.
So maybe you can just describe this race a little bit, because people that have never been there or have seen it on TV or whatever, they have that, okay, the Sahara is just sand dunes forever. What is the area like that you're racing in? How much of it are you in those dunes, and how much is it like just off in the distance, or how does it all work?
So the question that we can hear most is, where do we gonna swim? So the swimming part take part in Oasis. This Oasis is like 350 meters long. So we are doing about 7 or 8 loops for the full distance. Right, just next of this Oasis. Well, the Oasis, it's placed between high plateaus of the desert and sand dunes, because the desert is not only sand dunes or only the sand. It's more high plateaus and rocks and everything, and only 10 or 15% of the whole Sahara desert is actually sand dunes. So we were lucky to find this place where this Oasis is lying really on the edge of the high plateaus and sand dunes. So you are swimming in sparkling, let's say, refreshing oasis, where you can see an old village 2,000 years old on the high plateaus on the one side, and on the other side you can see sand dunes and palms. I think it's something really, really magical, and something that you can't experience, just like that.
And there are donkeys and camels, and yeah, that's it.
That's it.
No
Like, no,
sharks, no alligators,
don't worry.
no snakes.
Where lots of questions like, are there crocodiles or any dangerous fishes or etc. I said, no, it's a desert. Like, there is only donkeys and camels. It's like, how you can take a shark from the ocean to the middle of the desert?
Yeah,
Yeah.
because
I didn't find the answer. No, because I will tell you, because the desert was an ocean,
Okay.
in millions of years before.
Okay, so the ocean moved back and then the shark
Yeah,
stayed there.
yeah.
Okay. So
Yeah.
then, but so no sharks, no sharks,
No
no
sharks.
crocodiles. Next up, this Oasis, we have a transition zone. Like every transition zone, wherever you are in the world. Right next of this, it's really nice asphalt road. You wanted to add something?
No,
No?
just it's really fast, and
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm not racing on this cycling course against my brother.
Is it flat?
It? Well, let's say the first 24Ks are little bit ups and downs, like really short up and downs, so not really flat. So that's the first 24, and then you have five. Till now, it was five loops, and they are really absolutely flat.
Oh yeah.
So you can really enjoy the speed. But the tarmac, the asphalt of the road, is the high quality because it has to support the high temperatures. So it's really good quality, and you can feel it on your bike. You are flying, literally. And you are flying through villages that are thousands years old. And it's just you, the history of the people of the Sahara,
Right.
and absolutely magnificent views.
Yeah, it sounds like a breathtaking kind of environment to put a race into. What are the people in the villages thinking when these bikes are flying through their village? Are they used to it now, or what did they think the first year? Like, how did that go
Yeah,
over?
they are used to it now, but the first years were funny because they were asking, "It's what is it? It's a bike or it's a space shuttle or what is it?" They said, "Now it's a bike, it's a triathlon bike." Then they will do a triathlon race where they need to bike 180 kilometers. They said 180 kilometers. It's like, it's a 1 month race or it's a 1 week race. They never did 180 kilometers even in their car because they don't have a car. That's why. We were like alien from another planet arriving back in 2019 to Tahiti. Yeah, but now they are used to us, to the triathletes, to the bikes. They even can recognize which bike is faster than the other,
Oh
which
yeah.
is crazy.
That's Adam's
Yeah.
bike, obviously, right?
Sorry?
That's Adam's
Yeah,
bike.
it's Adam's bike. And they are really happy to be able to host us there because yeah, we are their host, which we are trying to explain to everybody that this is their country,
Right.
their desert, and we need to respect that. So
Now, here in Canada, quite often the races are rerouted, canceled, like Ironman in Penticton this year was canceled due to forest fires. Obviously, you're not going to have a forest fire there, but do you ever have sand dunes blow across your road where, like, they shut down the road for a bit, or is that far enough away that it doesn't happen?
with the climate changes, even in the Sahara Desert, you don't have a stable climate pattern. The sandstorm were coming in, let's say, May or June. Now it's moving. They come much earlier. So we had the sandstorm during the at the end of the bike course. We are talking about the Ironman distance.
It started.
It started, and then the biggest winds come in the evening, where a lot of athletes were running in the desert. So yeah, that was scary. I can say because when the sandstorm, in fact, it's like a snowstorm. You know that in Canada, you're not able to see anything, and you can lose yourself in the desert easily. So you have sand everywhere, in your eyes, in your under your shirt. So, but we were lucky. We did have from the beginning, from 2019, we have this plan B. If a sandstorm will come, we have a plan B, so we shut down the appendix to the desert, and then they can run just on the asphalt around the village with the military guys patrolling, looking for athletes. If they are okay, there are lamps there, so you're not in complete dark. So yeah, we were prepared for this kind of situation, and we managed to finish the race
Excellent. I mean, it's been great hearing about these races in Northern Africa, but let's move on and talk about your 515 race. Now, you hold that in, how do you say it now? Is it Czechia or do you say Czech Republic?
Well, even here at the embassy, we don't know what we need, we can use. For now, it's both. It's Czech okay. Republic and Czechia. So
we prefer Czechia.
But we prefer Czech Republic, yeah. Because Czechia, someone think it's Chechnya, which is not.
Right.
It's not even Russia. Russia.
It's not even Russia, yeah. It's Czech Republic. So let's stick with Czech Republic.
Okay. Let's stick with Czech Republic. And as we learned the last time you were on, you guys host your race at a rowing facility. And part of holding it at that rowing facility is that you have to fit your race in whenever the rowing races allow you to do so. I know last year, I think your race moved by a few weeks. Tell us what time of year is your race and tell us a little bit about what is unique about the Czech 515.
What is unique on this 515 race? It's, I think, that is the most economic, I would say, race in this format, because, you know, when you are racing 515 somewhere in the world, you have to have support, I believe, everywhere.
Yes.
On every course. So you have to take someone with you, you have to rent a car, you have to look for a kayak or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logistically more complicated than with our race. In our race, you just come there. You don't have to have a support. It's not obligatory. And everything is on one place. So you are not, you don't have to rent a car or whatever. Everything happens on one place. It's super safe because there is no traffic at all. You don't cross any crossroads, any trails, anything like that. You are not racing in the cities or whatever. So it's the other thing.
What else? You sleep there. You eat there.
Eat there, exactly.
You have your toilet every 5K.
If you have a supporter with you, it's cool for them as well because they can see you every 5K. And you are you know, in this atmosphere with other supporters and other racers, so you are not really alone there, like as a supporter, you know, you can enjoy the atmosphere of the race.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big party, in fact. Yeah. Let's say that.
I would say the same. It's a party.
Yeah. With all the support crew, all the athletes, and on top of that, we have an Ironman race on Saturday. So you're not alone on the bike course. You have other athletes competing on the Ironman distance, which is also great. You're not feeling alone.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, when we talked last time, I think I might have said that it's probably a good introductory 515 race in that it doesn't have the expense of the crew. You're able to do laps. You have that accommodation right beside the course, and everything there is nice and safe and easy to figure out. So if people are looking for like an introductory way into 515 where they want to look at going to a beautiful country and experiencing that, and then getting their 515 in on a little bit cheaper note, I think your race sounds like the perfect combination for that sort of thing.
It is, yeah, it is. And it's not far from Prague. So you just take your flights to Prague, which you can exit from all corner of the world. You arrive to Prague. You can take a train, which will take you to Račice, which is the place where the race take place, which is about 60 minutes by train. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to get there.
Now, you guys just did your race back in August. So tell me a little bit how this race went. I believe it was your first one since COVID. Tell us how the 2023 edition went.
It's not easy after COVID. Like, a lot of people are scared about their participation. You know, they are afraid to buy participation somewhere, and they don't know if the race will take place or not, and et cetera, et cetera. So the participation was a little bit lower than previous years, but I think we managed to keep the level of our organization.
And then, but yeah, and we have two athletes which qualified to your World Championship in Canada, with third athlete, which is Peter. So I think even this opportunity will bring much more athletes. They see that they have the opportunity to go to the World Championship, which is great.
Yeah, and that is really the point behind my World Championship race, is that we want to make sure that all of the 515 races have an opportunity to reach a worldwide championship. And it doesn't matter how small the race is or what the name of the race is, that everybody has that opportunity. And for people in Europe, they, you know, it's probably easier for them to come to the Czech Republic and do a race, flight wise and cost wise, and particularly with your race with no crew. And it makes it much, much easier for people to be able to take that next step toward that worldwide championship, I think, because they don't have to travel to North America twice in a row to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really nice. And even your idea to I guess to switch every year the World Championship, right?
Yes. The plan is that once it's established as a thing, that it will be able to move around to different areas around the world.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Which is awesome for athletes. So yeah, next year in Canada will be great.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your support and letting your athletes know about it as well. Let's just, because just recently, as we record this, Ironman announced another 70.3 race in the Czech Republic. What do you guys know about that route? Does it look like it's in the right place? Is it going to be a success? What do you think of this new 70.3 that was just announced?
Well, I know the place because my wife is from Hradec Králové, or near Hradec Králové, so we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a nice small city, not far from Prague. I know the bikers because I was cycling there, so the roads are great, fast. The running part will lead, I guess, through the historical part of the city, which is very nice. It's like small Prague. I'm not so convinced about the swimming part, which will be in the river.
Mm.
Frankly, I didn't saw anybody to swim there.
Is it multi-directional in the river, or is it just going to be downriver?
Multi-directionally. Really? I don't know.
So you have to go against the current for a while and then come back with it, or?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know. But yeah, so let's see how the swimming part will be. I think I saw that the registration start yesterday. Tier 1 and Tier 2 were sold pretty fast. So, because we have a big triathlon community in Czech Republic, in Poland, in Slovakia, so a lot of these people will go there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who just started with the triathlon are looking forward to try this world triathlon series,
mm-hmm.
Czech Republic. But to be honest, we have a lot of great not Ironman brand races in the Czech Republic, and I really hope that they will continue to be able to organize these races, because they are great. And
yeah, Iron Man does tend to come in and gobble up all the athletes.
And grab all of athletes, and take all the market share. So we'll see. But now we have 5 half Ironman races in the Czech Republic. I think that one or two will just they will not organize a race next year. Just 4 can survive, I guess. It's not a big market,
right?
But on the other hand, they are much less expensive against the Ironman.
Right.
We'll see. I don't know, but it's a great city. It was a surprise for me that it will take place in Hradec Králové. We had a challenge family race. It was a half distance in Prague.
Okay, yeah.
The center of Prague. So swimming in the Vltava River and then running in the city center of Prague. But this was back in 2019, before COVID. And I know with all the authorization to be able to close the roads in Prague, it's really difficult, impossible, let's say. So Hradec Králové could be a good choice. Yeah, we'll see what the first edition will bring. We know that they have a contract for 3 years. So let's see in 3 years.
And is it a new race director coming in to do this race, or is it somebody who's doing other Czech 70.3s? Do you know?
It's a Czech organizer, Czech agency, but to be honest, I don't know them personally.
Okay. Yeah.
For me, it was a new, or it is a new name.
Right. Yeah.
So let's see what this race will bring. I know that a lot of new races, not a lot of new Ironman 70.3 races are opening in Europe.
Mm.
So new races in Serbia, new races in Poland,
Doesn't seem to be any shortage of people that want to spend their money on the MDOT.
It's still popular to do the MDOT race.
Yeah.
Which we also did in Tangier, so.
Yeah. Well, guys, it's been great catching up with you again. Your Sahara Man race sounds like, an epic place. Your Ultra Czech 515 is a great, little loop race for people that get started into the race. And I've been the Czech Republic. It's a beautiful place. And so you've got two great locations for people that want to travel and race. So hopefully both of those are fully successful next year. Can you just give us the dates again of when each of your races are?
So Sahara Man, February 1. So it's a Thursday. And the Ultraman will be in September. We don't know the exact date because of the rowing races, which we don't know their dates for next year. So September 2024, we'll try to do it the first or second week in September.
Right. Well, like I said, thanks again, guys, for coming back to the podcast. And thanks for promoting the worldwide championship with your racers. And we hope to see you in Whistler.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Larry. Okay, I will be in Whistler as a fan, and Adam will be racing. Let's end this podcast with this.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry. Have a nice day. Bye.
Hey, if you liked what you heard today, please tell a friend and be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'd appreciate it if you'd rate and review the show while you're there. Drop the names of the people you think we should interview and we'll get in touch with them and make that happen. Thank you for listening to 515, the Ultra Podcast, a production of 55 Enterprises. No, really, go subscribe now before you forget.